Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Here we go. We are back. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Are you looking for a career where you will love flexibility, great pay and benefits at one of the country's top workplaces? Come join our growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Our NFL news and notes, it's going to continue as it is the final week of the regular season. Sean Mapes helping us break it all down. Looking forward to the matchup tomorrow with the Cowboys and the Commanders. And I'm just wondering, I'm just talking out loud here. I mean, you think the Cowboys, should they rest their starters in this final game of the regular season?
I don't think you can, because they still are alive for the number one seed with a win and a Philly loss. And they're going to be playing at the same time as Philadelphia and New York Giants. So it's going to be kind of a cat and mouse game. Now, you could say, like, you rest Dak and Zeke Elliott, and then you put in Cooper Rush and Tony Pollard. Most Cowboys fans are like, yeah, I still feel pretty good about that. But the defense rests so much on Micah Parsons and Lawrence that you do want to have those guys out there for a chance to win, because if you win, you might be the one seed.
What a season for the Dallas Cowboys. And it's just a crazy. I mean, I heard a stat, like, they haven't reached the NFC Championship since 95. Like,
yeah.
Why is that?
It always feels like it's something different with the Cowboys. There's years where they are kind of mediocre-ish. There's 7-9, 9-7, can't get over the hump. Then there's some of those Romo years where there's always something with Romo and Witten and Owens, and they take the trip to Cancun the week before the Giants game. There's always something. So the Cowboys, they are in a pretty good position to maybe snap that streak, I guess, of not making the NFC title game this year.
Hey, give me a quick hit. College football talk, looking forward to the national championship on Monday. Who knew? TCU is going to be in the national championship. TCU, Georgia. How does this game play out?
I've been a believer in TCU all year, watching the Big 12. I know they have some players. Now, them playing for the national championship game is a little bit surprising. I didn't quite have that as much as I love how they play, but it's going to be a tough one with Georgia. There's just too much. I think there's just too much size. I mean, you saw they took a great shot from Ohio State, and they're still standing. So it's going to be a tough one for the Horned Frogs.
It's going to be fascinating to watch college football, NFL news and notes. But right now, we're going to pivot. You bet. We are going to talk some college golf with my son, Stephen Campbell Jr., redshirt sophomore golfer at the University of Oklahoma. He's coming up next.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, Happy New Year, and welcome back to Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect, always live on social media, many different platforms, at eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com, and twice is nice. You can go back and listen to each and every one of our interviews at Podcast Arena. Never miss a moment with the latest sporting news, trending stories, and all of the highlights. Of course, our program being powered by our friends at Progressive Insurance, and it is wonderful to have Progressive Insurance, making your life so much easier as they bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. As promised before commercial break, in our next segment, it is time to talk some college golf. And what better way to jumpstart the new year than visiting with my wonderful son, who is a redshirt sophomore that plays golf at the University of Oklahoma for the Sooners, and head coach Ryan Hibble. We are so delighted to welcome back Stephen Campbell Jr. And son, Happy New Year, and thank you so much for carving out some time to be on the program, because I know this is a busy time of year for you as you prepare for the upcoming season and heading back to Norman. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Mom, for having me on. I appreciate it. And love being on the show. It's always a blast.
Well, let's get our listeners up to speed with the latest from your corner. You just returned from Arizona, and you played in a prestigious national tournament, the Patriot All-American Invitational, and it is a three-day tournament. It's 54 holes at the Wigwam Golf Resort. It's really a cool tournament because you're not playing for yourself, but you're playing for the name on your bag. Stephen, what did it mean for you to play in this exclusive Invitational?
Yeah, like you said, it's something that us as college players, we really don't get to experience a whole lot. And what the Patriot All-America tournament has done for college golf has been fantastic. I mean, that whole week was truly, truly special, not because of my finish, but just honoring someone that, you know, served this country and died in battle. It was truly an honor to serve Clint Joseph Story. He was the guy that I honored this week, and to have his name on the bag and carry it every step of the way, it was truly fantastic, and I'm definitely excited to come back next year.
Well, it really puts a lot of things in perspective when you're carrying that bag, because it represents honor, it represents respect and bravery. And the young man that you just mentioned, actually, he was from Enid, Oklahoma, correct?
He was, yes.
And certainly, let's go ahead and talk about some of the highlights and the opening ceremony. I know that was super special. What did you guys experience as players?
Yeah, so the opening ceremony this year was actually the first of its kind. So in Arizona, it's not supposed to rain, but we actually had a ton of rain throughout the whole entire week leading up to the tournament. And this was the first opening ceremony that was actually conducted indoors. And it was a little bit different from when I played it 2 years ago. We didn't have the guy jumping out of the plane and landing the golf course with his parachute, but everything else is pretty much the same. Everything was just so fantastic. And since the addition of women in the golf tournament and adding the Thunderbolt, which is another tournament that's played at Sterling Grove Country Club, everyone was there. You had all of the people who had served, and we actually had for the first year this year, the Patriot All-American mascot, Enzo the dog, and he was fantastic. We got to see him demonstrate some of his tools, and that was one of the best things I got to see, and that was definitely one of the highlights of the opening ceremony for sure.
Well, Enzo, and we had talked about this off air, he was a military working dog from Luke Air Force Base, and he actually just returned from deployment in Saudi Arabia. So he was at Wigwam all week long, and he was the tournament mascot. What kind of dog was he, Stephen?
I think he was a Belgian Malinois, and he's been trained for, I believe it was 5 years now. So he was definitely one of the prime dogs in Luke Air Force Base. And I mean, he did every single thing and more that the commanding officers told him to do. And he was a fantastic mascot the whole entire week.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. We are doing a one-on-one interview with my son, Stephen Campbell Jr. He's a redshirt sophomore that plays golf for the University of Oklahoma. You can look him up on social media online, _StephenJR01_. Hey, Stephen, where can the listeners, that's your Twitter handle, but where can they go to Instagram and check you out?
Yeah, very similar. It's _StephenJR_STEPHEN. Not with a V, it's with a PH. So, go check me out on Instagram, give me a follow, and thank you again for the support.
Well, we're doing a full recap of the Patriot All-American Invitational that features the golf stars of tomorrow. Stephen had the opportunity to participate in that. It's a three-day tournament held at Wigwam Golf Course. It was interesting you'd mentioned, of course, we were all there as a family 2 years ago in 2020, and that was during COVID. How was the dynamic? How was it different this year as opposed to 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was a totally different golf tournament, in my opinion, because we had COVID in 2020, and we didn't get to experience a lot of the things that I got to experience last week. For example, on 16, they had the skybox rocking. I mean,
okay.
We had a DJ going on playing all sorts of club music. It was a fantastic vibe all throughout the week, and I loved it. I was really vibing the whole entire time. It was fun seeing people hooting and hollering your name on the 16th, 17th, and 18th green, and the music was so loud you could hear it all throughout the golf course. So it was a fun tournament. Like I said previously, it's just something that we don't ever get to experience. So it was definitely a different vibe, but it was something that I really enjoyed and I really embraced.
You know, something interesting too is the volunteers are always the heart of any golf tournament. tournament. Did you have a chance to cross paths with some of the volunteers that you saw from a couple of years ago? Because there were some amazing folks that we had the chance to meet out there.
Yeah, I did. One of the guys I actually played with in the AM-AM 2 years ago, he ended up watching me the final round. Uh-huh. And it was great to catch up with him again. And we just got to share some stories about how he's been over the past couple of years and how I've been. And it was really, really great catching up with some of the people that I got to see over 2 years ago.
And what was wonderful is that a couple of your teammates, Ben Lorenz and Jackson Dow, they were out there with you. So you got to give a shout out to your boys, and so proud of both of them. And of course, Ben Lorenz finishing solo tied second.
Yeah, no, I love those guys, Jackson and Ben. I actually live with them. So that was, and what's crazy enough is that was the first time me and Ben got to play together in an actual tournament outside of qualifying and outside of college golf. And it was really fun just battling it out there all day with Ben, and I'm really proud to see how much he's improved all throughout these past 2.5 years, and I'm really looking forward to tearing it up with him and Jackson this spring season.
And what was really cool for Ben, of course, he is a native Arizonan. He's from that part of the
Yes,
country.
He is. So it was definitely cool. He had a lot more of a home field advantage because he's played out there quite a bit. And I got to see all of his family out there. So it was a little bit of a homecoming for him. And I'm just really proud of how he played, how he battled, and how he finished.
Our conversation continues with redshirt sophomore golfer from the University of Oklahoma, Stephen Campbell Jr., after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
It is Saturday afternoon. Glad you're with us. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, going one-on-one. He is in studio here in Houston, Texas, before he heads back to Norman, Oklahoma, a redshirt sophomore golfer at the University of Oklahoma. That is my son, Stephen Campbell Jr. Give him a follow on Twitter, _StephenJR01. Let's pivot and move ahead and talk now and reflect on Oklahoma's 2022 fall season. It was very strong for you guys, and you really finished with an exclamation point by winning that tournament in Hawaii. How would you summarize how the fall season played out, Stephen?
Yeah, it was a solid fall season. I don't think it was near as great as it was last year when we had Chris Goddard up, Logan McAllister, but it was still nonetheless, a really solid fall season. We just kind of had one little hiccup at Colonial, but I'm really proud of how everyone kind of picked up, you know, their boots and figured out a way to finish strong at Big 12 match play. And we know we wanted to win that more than anything, but to finish off the fall season with a win, it's more, you know, nothing more you can ask. And this year, as we transition into the spring, we got a team of really young, hungry guys. And I'm really excited to see how everything plays out.
You know, it's been amazing watching you, following you play college golf, a life-changing experience. You're playing for some incredible coaches, the camaraderie of the team, all the memories that are being made on these golf trips and at practice, and, you know, the opportunity to represent your university. But the venues that you guys play is, it's magical. I mean, it's really incredible. What's been your favorite one so far?
I'd probably say my first tournament, Pebble Beach. That was my first ever college tournament. I'm a little biased to that just because it was an emotional week leading up to it, finally breaking through and qualifying for that event, and then getting to play Cypress Point, one of the courses I've always wanted to play. Finally crossed that off my bucket list, and we played a fun round out there, and that was just honestly the closest thing I've gotten to heaven. It was fantastic. 18 signature holes, and getting to play Pebble Beach for, I believe it was 4 rounds for, I mean, I didn't pay a dime, so that was absolutely fantastic and definitely one of the trips of my life.
You shed some light on the opportunity to play at Pebble Beach, super special, but I have to tell you, let's fast forward. I mean, this year you guys went to Maui, and you personally played extremely well. I'm going to brag on you. What, that opening round was a 66, 73, 68, tied for sixth. Tell us about playing in Maui, and it was a resort-style course. I mean, this was one of those courses that you guys could go really low on.
Yeah, definitely. I think the first round I shot 5 under, second round I shot 1 over, and then third round shot 4 under. And yeah, it was a resort style course, so it was definitely made for some very low scoring conditions as long as the wind was down. And the wind wasn't crazy all week except for the second day. Scores were not really crazy low the second day, but really proud how all of us as a group, we all played very, very solid. And that was just a super fun trip again because I've never been to Hawaii, and crossing that off my bucket list was absolutely fantastic. Views were great. Yeah, it was awesome.
I personally did not have the opportunity to go out to Hawaii and watch you, your little brother, as Eli was playing in the Greenwood Cup here in Houston, another prestigious tournament. But I did have a chance to watch you in Ohio at the iconic golf course Inverness. And let's share for the listeners, pull back the curtain. You know, what's it like playing on this type of course? Visually, it doesn't look intimidating, but there are some very demanding holes. And all I can say is you got to hit quality shots.
Yeah, you do. Inverness, when I was kind of going through trying to preview for this tournament, I was looking up some photos and, you know, videos on the internet, and when I was looking at stuff like that, it honestly looked very visually intimidating. Then we got out there and I was like, wasn't crazy intimidating visually, but it sneaks up on you because the rough is very dense out there. It's not crazy long, but it's very, very dense, and you can only take a certain amount of club before it's really going to punish you, because the rough will do, you know, things that you don't want it to do with a golf club. And stretches, I think it's from holes 5 through 8.
When the
wind's kicking up, it's very, very demanding. You got to hit 2 to 3 quality golf shots just to, you know, salvage a par or have a chance for birdie. So very, very demanding. It's a very sneaky and tricky golf course, but if you're hitting the fairways, you can definitely score on it. But conditions were not favorable for that week. Played 36 holes the first day, and for about 27 of the holes, it was blowing about 30 to 35 miles an hour constant. And for the other 9 holes, it was probably raining. We had 2 different rain delays, and it was definitely which team had the most grit. And I know we didn't win, but it was a big time battle, and it showed kind of where each and every one of us was on the team.
Stephen, you break down the layout of Inverness, but I thought the par fours, those were super challenging.
Yeah, definitely. Par fours are very, very intense out there. Same with the par threes. Very, very tricky.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we did a shotgun start for the week, and I started on hole 3. I think it was 2 out of the 3 days, or it might have been all 3 of the days because of the delays. And, I mean, opening up with a 4 or 5 iron in the freezing cold and wind was not easy. No, not easy, not ideal, but just got to figure out a way to do it. And, yeah.
Hey, we are glad you're with us here in Hour 2 at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Super special interview, you bet, because my son, Stephen Campbell Jr., redshirt sophomore golfer at the University of Oklahoma, he is in studio before he head back for the spring semester. And in the month of October, speaking of Houston, you were down here. You guys played in Hockley, Texas, in Big 12 match play. And, oh, by the way, you did sweep Bedlam rival Oklahoma State. I got to mention that. But let's talk about the final round. You and your teammate, an exceptional young man. We love him so much. He is from the state of Texas. Jay Summey, what an exceptional year he has had so far. But you guys were partners, playing partners, and had the chance to go against the number one player in college golf and Swedish player Ludvig Åberg from Texas Tech and Callum Scott. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Me and Jace have gotten pretty close this year, and I'd go to war with that man. That man is one of the grittiest guys I've ever seen. Love Jace to death. And no, it was fun. We had some fantastic vibes all week, and him going up against number one player in the world, Ludvig Åberg, fantastic player out of Sweden. And, you know, those boys put on a ball striking clinic. I don't think I've ever seen guys strike the ball better besides, I mean, probably Patrick Welch or Ben Lorenz, two quality ball strikers. But yeah, no, those guys put on a ball striking clinic. It was definitely fun because you're not really trying to watch what they're doing because you're trying to stay in your own game. But yeah, sometimes you couldn't help but watch how, you know, great they struck the golf ball. And it was almost like on repeat every single time. Felt like they didn't miss a shot at sometimes. But fought to the end, and, you know, proud of how we battled it out. And I know we didn't get the result that we wanted, but it was definitely, you know, a great test again to see where all of our guys are, and it shows how much heart we have on this team.
Well, those boys from Texas Tech, if there's one thing that I would say as far as my assessment, they're like a machine, but they don't take possessions off. I mean, they value every single shot.
Yes, they do. Yeah, no, they are very, very wise beyond their years. And Callum is, I actually played against him last year in the Big 12 Championship, and he whipped my butt, to be honest.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, no, he's improved tremendously. Ludvig's, same old Ludvig, you know, great player, ball striker. It seems like all assets of his game are always clicking. And it was a blast to play and battle it out against them. But we're definitely looking for some revenge come postseason time in late May.
Hey, revenge is always a great motivator, and we are so glad you are with us. You bet. We're talking some college golf here in 2023. Redshirt sophomore golfer at the University of Oklahoma, Stephen Campbell Jr. in studio with us. And I know Oklahoma, Texas, they will be crossing over into the SEC before you know it. But let's get your assessment of the Big 12. 12 conference, specifically when you talk about college golf. It's got so much depth. Is it the number one conference in the country when you talk about college golf?
I personally believe so. Both of our coaches believe so. I mean, we have – let me think. We got us, Texas, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, TCU's playing some solid golf this year. I mean, you got four or five teams that are inside the top 25. And, you know, besides us and the SEC, I don't think there's a stronger golf conference out there. So it's really awesome to see these teams week in, week out play against them because we're playing against the best. And that's what we want to do at the University of Oklahoma. And it's fantastic, you know, playing in such a strong conference. And even when we transition over into the SEC, it's not going to affect us a crazy amount, except when it comes to SEC match play and SEC conference championships, but we're still going to be playing against the best, and we're really looking forward to it.
You are a redshirt sophomore at the University of Oklahoma, and I just, time is just flying by. Just going to share with our listeners just the progress, the growth that has taken place, and why OU was the perfect fit for you, because you truly are living your dream. It's been the ultimate experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, looking back 2.5 years ago, I could not imagine where I would be, and I'm so thankful for all the blessings that the Lord has really given to me. Mm-hmm. He's put me in some crazy, crazy trials, some crazy low points, but I'm so thankful that I've been through all those low points because it's kind of made me who I am today. And Coach Hibble and Coach Bill are the best in the business, hands down. Again, I'd go to war with both those guys. They are fantastic. They've grown me so much up as a man, and not just in golf, but, you know, just every asset of my life. And I'm super, super thankful. And I mean, I'm not even the same player I was 3-4 years ago. And I'm really, really excited to see what the future holds. I know I got a lot of work to do to get to the next level, but I'm going to figure out and do whatever it takes to get there.
You know, you share a little bit about as far as how much the coaches have accelerated your growth, but be reflective. And let's talk about the seniors that have had a major impact with you. I think about Chris Goddard, National Player of the Year, Logan McAllister. And also, we got to give some love to Patrick Welch, Sweet Pea.
Yeah, no, I can't thank the seniors enough. I mean, they've done so much for all the younger guys. For example, Quade Cummins. I mean, he talked about it at the national championship when we fell short. Mm-hmm. How he was one of those young guys, and he wants to do everything he can to breed us and build us up. And I can't thank Quade enough. Chris Goddard, Logan McAllister. I mean, they always rip into me every single day, but I'm very thankful they do, just because they want to do everything they possibly can to get the best out of each and every one of us. And Chris, Logan, and Quade are all natural born leaders. And Patrick Welch has really, you know, stepped into that role. And I'm really, really proud of Patrick, seeing how much progress he's made, because, you know, my freshman year, his junior year, he was really struggling with, you know, some stuff on the greens, and really proud to see how he battled that, came over that. And I mean, you look at him now, he's one of the top players in the country, and he had actually just finished top 20 or top 25 in the Shriners PGA Tour event. So I'm really excited to see what Patrick's going to do at the next level, and I already know he's going to do some great things.
Well, you've progressed. You've learned a lot since your junior golf playing days, and I just have to wonder, I mean, Texas, it is a hotbed when you talk about junior golf. How did that prepare you for the collegiate level?
Yeah, no, Texas is, in my opinion, the best for breeding young golfers. I mean, we get to play essentially 365 days a year. Same as, like, you know, California, Florida. That's why they are, you know, so good at breeding all these different types of golfers. And yeah, Texas prepared me a lot because, you know, it's windy here. It's not near as windy as Oklahoma, but it's still windy. Still got to play through some adversity. And yeah, everyone is so good. Competition's really, really intense. And it's fantastic. And I'm very thankful that I've grown up here and been able to practice almost, you know, throughout the whole year.
Hey, we are wrapping up our time. Redshirt sophomore golfer at the University of Oklahoma, my son Stephen Campbell Jr., with us in studio at SportsMap Radio Network. And give us a quick preview of 2023. When is your next tournament for the University of Oklahoma? You guys are going to be packing your bags and going somewhere a little bit more tropical.
Yeah, we're starting out in Puerto Rico. I think it's February 12th is when we're starting. And we couldn't be more excited to go back to that event. Chris Cotterup actually won that event at 20 under
That's
par
right.
last year. And we're really looking forward to teeing it up there as defending champs, and looking forward to defending our title at the Grand Reserve Golf Club in Puerto Rico. And like last year, the winner gets a sponsor's exemption into the Puerto Rico Open. And Chris actually finished 7th in that event. So I'm going to try to do my best to try to win and get that sponsor's sponsors exemption, but we're really just looking forward to kicking off the season on island time and getting out of the cold Norman weather.
Yeah. And what are your expectations?
To win. That's pretty much it. You know, we didn't come to settle for anything else, and we expect nothing less. So we're out there to win and dominate and take care of business.
Great stuff. I know our audience is always super excited to hear from you. Stephen Campbell Jr., give him a follow on Twitter at underscore Stephen JR01. Underscore. And where do they go for your Instagram, Stephen?
Pretty much same thing. Underscore Stephen, STEPHENJR underscore.
Congratulations on all your success. Love you.
Thank you, Mom.
And we look forward to another conversation after you guys win that national championship.
Yes, look forward to it. Love you, Mom.
Thank you. Love you. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network, the fastest 2 hours in radio, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. It is the final week in the NFL regular season. You bet, week 18. We have got you covered in our next segment. Before we get underway with that, we'd love to hear from you many different ways, always live on social media, at eRadioSports, info at eRadioSports.com, podcast arena. You can take and download our app, take us anywhere, anytime. Never miss a moment with the latest sporting news, trending stories, and all of the highlights. Several compelling matchups later this afternoon and tonight. Of course, looking forward to all the big games tomorrow as well when we talk about the NFL. And we are delighted, always an honor to have back with us from the Washington Post, and that is Adam Kilgore. I trust all is well. How are you, Adam?
Doing well, yeah. Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Well, we are looking forward to getting your insight and perspective. We're going to focus on the NFL, but certainly at the forefront of our minds, it's Buffalo Bills safety, Damar Hamlin. Just give us what the latest is with the situation and how he continues to progress.
Yeah, so far the news has all been encouraging. On Thursday afternoon, doctors from UC Health gave an update that was remarkable. The thing that stood out were that Damar Hamlin was, you know, is so responsive, his neurological function has returned so well that he can actually communicate through writing. The first thing that he asked when he was awoken was, did we win? So that level of neurological function, I think, is a huge indicator that his recovery is on a good track. Still a long, long way to go. He's still intubated at that point, but you know, this is a young man who might be able to, in the best case, he still has a chance to be the same person he was at 8 p.m. on Monday night, as the doctor said. And, you know, that doesn't explicitly mean, you know, we can start talking about whether he'll ever play football again. That's far away. But, you know, he can still be the same Damar Hamlin he was when he stepped on that field, which is truly amazing and really heartening for, you know, everyone in the NFL, everyone watching, everyone across the country.
Adam Kilgore, our very special guest at Sports Map Radio Network here in Hour 2. He is with the Washington Post. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Adam Kilgore, WP. And you have certainly covered the NFL for many, many years. Never seen anything like this. But we have certainly learned a lot about Damar. He is a very special person. What can you share about him?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's one thing, you know, this is it's a good perspective to have, because Damar Hamlin, like a lot of NFL players, you know, a remarkable world-class athlete, but pretty unknown to the people who, you know, even folks like me covering the media. I mean, I heard the name. I knew he played safety for the Bills. Didn't know anything about him. But it really takes remarkable, not only athleticism, but in most cases, it's not run-of-the-mill humans that have mm-hmm. the capacity, the work ethic, you know, the focus to reach the NFL. And this is, it's been the only silver lining, really, kind of learning who Damar Hamlin is through this ordeal. Just a remarkable person who came up from humble beginnings, difficult childhood, had a father who had to spend time in prison, and then reformed himself and helped raise and coach Damar. He's from a small borough outside Pittsburgh called McKees Rock. And I think the thing that, you know, most people come to know and maybe even gave some of their own money to this cause was he started a toy drive when he was in college. This is before he made a dime in the NFL. He was hoping to raise $2,500 for daycare in his hometown, McKees Rock. That was unearthed during the crisis on Monday night. And now it's, you know, approaching or surpassing $7 million. And so, you know, that's, it's like, you know, it's very kind of heartening, enjoyable to think about how he's going to process that once he hears that news as he continues to come to.
Yes, DeMar, an exceptional young man. Prayers continue. And let's move ahead to today and tomorrow's games, Week 18. I certainly have circled on my calendar. I'm unapologetic. I love my Dallas Cowboys. So, Adam, they are 12-4, and they're going to face your Washington Commanders. What do we need to know about this matchup? Talk to me, Adam.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. I mean, so the Cowboys still do have something to play for because of the way the Eagles have stumbled. They could still win
right. The
NFC East. And so the Commanders are a bit in shambles right now. They're going to be starting a quarterback, late-round draft pick Sam Howell out of North Carolina. Had a great college career, showed a couple flashes in training camp, but again, he's like a sixth-round pick, so there's not, reason to be too, this is very much a debut of a quarterback with very little experience who played in, not really a pro-style system in college. So it'll be fun to watch Sam Howell run around, but I don't think he's going to give the Cowboys, especially a motivated Cowboys team, too many problems. The Commanders are really in a spiral. They had a playoff spot well within their grasp a month ago, and they've gone 0-3-1 since then and have been eliminated already from the playoffs. So this is a game the Cowboys certainly should win.
Rookie quarterback Sam Howell, he is going to start the season finale against the Cowboys. Help me understand why there's been some criticism of him, because his former quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator from UNC, Phil Longo, he's a regular on our program, and we've had some great conversations about Sam. I like this guy.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I mean, I think fans around here I think that once they were eliminated from the playoffs, I think fans are really eager to see Sam Howell, and it definitely makes sense. Mm. And, I wouldn't say there's been criticism of Howell. It's just more that no one's seen him play. But like I said, in preseason, he was definitely one of those rookies who fans watched, in games and said, hey, this is like something we'd like to see more of. And so, just given his draft position, is he someone that the Commanders should expect to potentially be a franchise kind of quarterback? I would say no. But there's also no reason to close the door on that possibility. Like you mentioned at UNC, he was one of the best players in the country
junior
year. He actually slipped off his senior year, but I think that had more to do with the talent around him. That team graduated a lot of skilled positions, a lot of players in the offensive line. But you go back to his junior year, he was, he went into the senior season as a possible Heisman candidate, as a possible first-round pick. So this is a guy with a lot of talent, and it'll be really, from a Washington perspective, it's the only thing to really care about on Sunday, but it's a pretty good thing to care about. It'll be interesting.
Well, it is going to be fascinating to watch. And, of course, Sam Howell, as we talk about him, he was drafted in the fifth round in the 2022 NFL draft. Let's talk about here we are in Week 18, very meaningful games. A lot of these teams, they've got a lot to play for, from home field advantage to a divisional title to a wild card spot. So which particular matchup do you have your eye on, Adam?
That's a great question. I mean, I think as much as I don't like to watch the AFC South this year,
uh-huh.
I think Titans Jaguars, the just side of the division,
okay,
is the most interesting.
Who
most,
knew, right?
yeah, totally. It's the most clear cut matchup, and I'm interested too. I mean, as bad as the Titans have played the past month and a half, and as messed up as their messed up might be too harsh, but as sort of in flux as their quarterback situation is. I'm still interested to see, can Mike Vrabel pull something out of his sleeve? Can he get his team prepared? Does he have a couple tricks? Does he have some schematic things, some inspirational things to actually give the Jaguars a game? Because, the way the teams are trending, this is an effective game in Jacksonville. This could be a blowout. But everyone who watches the NFL knows that Mike Vrabel is one of those best coaches on game day. He can definitely take a lesser team and beat a team that is supposed to win. And so I'm interested in that. Interested to see if Trevor Lawrence can kind of see at this moment. This is his first chance in the NFL to play a game with these kind of stakes. He's rolling. Doug Peterson has been playing at the level of a top 10, at the very least, quarterback in the NFL. And so I'm fascinated to see how the Jaguars play, how the Titans play, and who can win the AFC South. Because if the Titans get in, that's interesting. If the Jaguars get in, that's not a team that's going to be a pushover just because of the level of play of the quarterback right now.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're so glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, final week in the NFL regular season. The countdown is on. We're looking forward to a couple of matchups today. Of course, 4:30 Eastern Time, Chiefs and the Raiders. And as Adam Kilgore was just talking about, previewing the Titans and the Jaguars, 8:15 Eastern Time kickoff. What about some of the games on Sunday? Who you got?
Well, you know, I think that the Bengals-Ravens game is certainly one to watch. It looks like the AFC North is still going to be in play. The Ravens really need a good performance. It looks like Lamar Jackson is not going to play again based on his level of activity of practice this week. That's a bad sign because even if, you know, the Ravens are in the playoffs, if Lamar Jackson's not healthy, you know, that they're not going to win a game. They're not going to advance. The AFC is too tough. The quarterbacks are too good for them to realistically have a chance in the playoffs. But they could still use this as a good performance either way. They have not played well, especially on offense, down the stretch. And, you know, unfortunately, it's certainly interesting to see how the Bengals react after they were involved in the Monday night game. You know, I think that's just an unfathomable challenge that they have in front of them to have to come back and play football after being on the field Monday night. And so, you know, it'll be it warrants, number one, it warrants a lot of respect and admiration for what they'll be able to do by playing at all. Number two, it warrants, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they do perform.
Out of all of the teams that are playing today and tomorrow, who do you think is feeling the most pressure this weekend?
That's a great question. I think it's got to be maybe the Seattle Seahawks. You know, they're looking at a situation where, if they win, they can still make the playoffs. And about a month and a half ago, that looked like it was definitely going to happen. So they've got a chance to win and get in if some things go right later on. I think that's the team that probably is feeling like, you know, we can still salvage our season, even though things went wrong. And they played great last week. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond this week.
Our NFL news and notes continues in Week 18 with Adam Kilgore from the Washington Post after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin from the Washington Post, Adam Kilgore. Give me a hit on the Jets. What's the future with them in terms of with the quarterback position?
Oh, boy. You know, I mean, Coach Robert Saleh has said that they're going to stick by
Zach Wilson.
I think hell or high water is a phrase he used. To me, it looks like they mentioned this year, so I don't know how high the hell water is there. Even coming out of the draft, I was very skeptical of Zach Wilson. I know that he did make some impressive, he's got a lot of impressive talent, he had some really impressive performances in college. But that was, you know, the level of competition he played, the windows he was throwing into were not remotely NFL caliber. And he doesn't seem, I think, you know, as much as he needs to improve his physical performance, you can tell through his press conference, his demeanor. I don't think he quite grasps what it takes to be an NFL quarterback intangibly, let alone tangibly. And so, you know, to me, even if the Jets are going to try to make it work with him, I think the sooner they cut bait from Zach Wilson and move on and try to find the next quarterback, the better they are, because I think you're just throwing away time if you try to resuscitate Wilson's career, especially in New York, which is a very, you know, high profile, difficult market to play quarterback in. I think if he does turn his career around, it'll be somewhere else.
Okay, so we talk long-term, you know, what is the outlook for Zach Wilson? Let's talk about the Dolphins and Tua. Is he Miami's long-term plan at QB?
That's really difficult to say, and it's going to have to come down to his health and what he wants to do going forward. I think there's a lot of, you know, fans, people within the NFL, outside the NFL, who would like him to step away from football, given how dangerous his situation is after repeated brain injuries. And so that's going to be, you know, as a football player, he made incredible strides this year. Those strides, unfortunately, were interrupted by concussions and repeated concussions, which we all know by now put you at further risk and even more dangerous risk for future concussions. So, You know, I think there's real, there, if there's not real questions, there should be real questions about whether he ever steps in the field again. And if he's cleared, that's wonderful. And if he wants to play football, that's wonderful. That's his choice. And I do think he should be proved this year that he has the ability to be, you know, an excellent franchise level quarterback in the NFL. But I don't think that, you know, that's even a question that is, that's a question that's hard to even get at right now because of his health issues and because of, you know, sort of prioritizing, you know, his brain over his arm at this point.
Yeah. Washington Post, Adam Kilgore with us just a few more minutes. SportsMap Radio Network. Give him a follow on Twitter at Adam Kilgore WP. And of course, the Jets Dolphins Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern time, kickoff on Fox. My final question for you is, let's talk about the Packers. Okay. Let's say that they do advance and they beat the Lions. That would be their fifth straight win after starting the season 4-8. If they're to make the playoffs, what are your expectations for them? What a turnaround.
What a turnaround. And, you know, in the NFC, anything can happen. I mean, the 49ers look tremendous, but it's Brock Purdy at quarterback. And he's been great, don't get me wrong, but he's still a seventh-round rookie, you know, versus Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think you can definitely pencil that in for the 49ers as good as they played. You know, their defense has really stepped up during this winning streak. Their special teams has been incredible. Keyshawn Nixon, whoever thought that a cornerback that nobody really ever heard of would be the most important player in the NFC right now. His kick returning is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Every game he has a huge play that basically turns, is pivotal in that game. They'll be playing loose, nothing to lose. I think the 49ers are a better team. I would pick them to win, especially if the game is in San Francisco. I think the Cowboys are a better team. But bet against Aaron Rodgers, despite his playoff failures, in recent seasons, really going on a decade now,
mm-hmm.
bet against that guy at your own risk when he's got nothing to play for and he's got a team around him that's feeling pretty good about himself.
It is a meaningful weekend, week 18 in the NFL. Adam Kilgore breaking it all down for us with some great insight and perspective. Give him a follow on Twitter at Adam Kilgore WP, Washington Post. Good stuff. And we look forward to some more conversations here in 2023. Happy New Year, Adam.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
That, of course, was Adam Kilgore, who joined us here at SportsMap Radio Network, our very first show in 2023. Hope all of you enjoy all the action today and tomorrow in Week 18, and we'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody.